Amen. Throughout the Gospels, we have many accounts of various miracles that were performed by the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. We can think of miracles that overruled nature, such as when he caused the storm to cease in Mark chapter 4, or whenever he enabled Peter, one of his disciples, to walk on water in Mark chapter 6. And then in the same chapter, we have the record of the feeding of the 5,000 with just 2 loaves and 5 fish. We then also have accounts in the Gospels of the Lord's power over death. We think of examples such as Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5, and then of Lazarus in John chapter 11 and chapter 12. There's then a further section of miracles that we can consider, which show the Lord's power over the health of the body. And there are many such miracles in that section, which include the healing of lepers that we see in Mark chapter 1. There are various accounts of cripples being healed. We think of the infirm woman in the book of Luke. And then there is also the healing of those who had lost their sight. This evening we have read one of these accounts that showcase the Savior's power over the human body. And it's my intention tonight to take the first 46 of this chapter, Mark chapter 10. I want to take this 46th verse as my text. That verse, it reads, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." I intend to speak tonight upon a man who met the Lord on his way out of the city of Jericho. Maybe in our minds we can picture the scene. We can imagine the Lord Jesus Christ on his way out of the city. He's walking down one of those dusty roads, and there's a great multitude surrounding him, accompanying him. And as they follow him and he leaves the city, as he departs, he then has an encounter with a man called Bartimaeus. And there are 4 thoughts that I would like to leave with you tonight as we consider this man, Bartimaeus. Firstly, we see that Bartimaeus, he was a blind man. He had a great affliction. He was blind. He could not see. He did not have sight. It was a great handicap which greatly limited what he could do. It is also believed that Bartimaeus' father, who was a man called Timaeus, it is believed that he was also a blind man. So here, in the words of Matthew Henry, we have the blind son of a blind man. It was a terrible and an awful affliction to have. We often can take our sight for granted, and it's hard for us to perhaps consider how terrible that affliction is. I remember back in my first year of college, it was around, I think, the January time, I took some sort of infection or some sort of reaction to something, and it affected my eyesight, and I ended up being more or less blind for 2 or 3 days. And it was not a pleasant experience. Thankfully, it only lasted a few days, but I remember going with my mum to the doctors, and me being more or less blind, I couldn't see a thing. And I remember mum walking on down the path and me sort of walking about, trying to feel my way. And it was a terrible thing. But this man, Bartimaeus, he had this permanent. I thankfully only had it for a few days. It was only a few days, and then the medication kicked in. And a few months later, I was completely back to normal. But this man, Bartimaeus, he had been blind for many years. It was not a temporary thing with him. Whenever he got up each morning, he lived in darkness. He could not see anything. He could not, as it were, as we would maybe do in the mornings, we would get up and we open our curtains or the blinds, whatever we have, and we look out and we see God's creation. We see the grass, we see the trees. We can see perhaps the birds that are flying in the sky. But Bartimaeus could see none of this. He was blind. He could not see. Whenever he went to bed, he remained in darkness. When he got up, he was in darkness. He could not see what was going on in the city of Jericho. He could not see what went on about him. He could not see the faces of his friends. What a terrible affliction it was. He lived his life in darkness, and he had lived with a physical blindness. But does that not remind us of the blindness that man is born with? Every man who enters this world, he is blind spiritually. This blindness, it prevents him from seeing that he is a lost sinner in need of salvation. It prevents him from understanding the Scriptures. And what a terrible and what an awful ailment that is. Perhaps maybe you've been engaged in evangelism and you may be able to identify with this, but I know of times whenever I've been speaking to people in the street and you ask them, well, are you a sinner? And you will find that many people, they will say, no, I'm not a sinner. You ask them why. And they say, well, they give you perhaps an answer, something down this line. They say, oh, well, I pay my tithes to the church. I never miss a meeting. I give to the poor. I support charities. I've never stolen. I've never murdered. I've never committed a great crime. They say, I'm a good person. But my friends, people that take that viewpoint, they have been blinded to the reality that they are sinners. For the Scriptures tell us that all have come short of the glory of God. They tell us that there is none good. The Scriptures tell us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. How can we honestly say that we are not a sinner in the light of such truths of Scripture? Tonight, maybe you have spent many years thinking that you have had nothing to worry about because you come to this church. You maybe come here Sunday morning, Sunday night. Maybe even you attend a prayer meeting. Maybe you're even involved in something and you think that that's enough to get you to heaven. But my friend, don't be blinded, for works cannot save. Salvation cannot be achieved by the works of man. We think of the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world is the devil. And he does seek to blind people so that they do not see the need of their salvation. My friend, tonight, have you been blinded? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in your works? Ask yourself the question. It's a serious matter. Are you trusting in what you've done? Are you trusting perhaps in baptism or some other thing? Have you been blinded? We see that this man, he was a blinded man. He was a blind man. But secondly, we see that he was a begging man. And this really follows on from the blindness that he had. Because as a blind man, there was not much that he could do. Today, in this modern era, there's various schemes or provision for those who have lost their sight. We think perhaps of the likes of guide dogs and things like that can be provided to help them. And there's things to help them to get on in life. But back in Bible times, if someone was blind, really they were just left on their own. They were left to try and fend for themselves. And generally speaking, they ended up having to beg. Perhaps we could picture the scene in our minds. This man sitting on that road out of Jericho. Maybe with a little pot or maybe a little blanket. And he's begging and asking people as they pass by for a little money or for a little food. He was doing that in order to survive because he was a man in great poverty. He was a man in great need physically. But in the same manner, those who are blinded spiritually, they are also in spiritual poverty. They are in great need because sin will always bring spiritual poverty. It may be the case that you will prosper physically. It may be the case that you will want for nothing in the physical realm. But note the words of Mark 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Tonight, my friends, are you in spiritual poverty? You may have plenty of riches built up on this earth like that rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. I'm sure we know the account well of how that he had all these riches and he pulled down his barns to build greater. He was a greedy farmer. All he cared about was the riches that he could build on this earth. But But yet, when it came to spiritual matters, he was poor. And that night, the Lord required his soul of him. Tonight, if the Lord was to require your soul, if tonight was the last night that you would spend on this earth, where would you be? Where would you spend eternity? Would you be in heaven, in glory with the Lord? Or would you be hearing those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? My friends, are you rich whenever it comes to the Lord? Or are you in great destitution and poverty? We think again of another example. We think of the rich man and Lazarus. And how that rich man in Luke chapter 16, he had all he could ever want. He had all the food, all the riches. But yet when it came to spiritual things, he was poor. The text tells us that he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. Physically, in regards to his earthly possessions, he was rich. But yet, how poor he was when it came to spiritual matters. We think of Lazarus. Lazarus was the beggar. He was the man who had nothing. The dogs licked his sores. He desired the crumbs off the rich man's table. But yet, when it came to the time for him to depart this earth, he went up to be with the Lord, which is far better. My friend, are you rich towards God tonight? Can you say assuredly that I am rich when it comes to spiritual things? Or are you in spiritual poverty? As a beggar, this man, Bartimaeus, he depended upon the mercy of others. He depended upon them to give to him, to give him whether it was money or food. He was completely dependent because he was helpless to help himself. He could not help himself. When it comes to spiritual things, likewise, we are entirely dependent upon the mercy and grace of another. We, like the beggar, we cannot help ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We are unrighteous. We cannot satisfy God's justice. We are in a hopeless state. But yet God in mercy has made a way. He did not have to make a way, but he covenanted in, out of mercy to make a way of salvation. He covenanted to send a Savior and to come to this world, to die on the cross at Calvary, to shed his blood, to make that atonement for sin. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die to pay that debt that he did not owe. That debt that we owed for our sin. My friend, tonight, have you had your sin debt paid? Have you realized that you are a sinner? Have you realized that the only way you can escape the punishment for sin is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? We've seen that Bartimaeus, he was a blind man. We've seen that he was a begging man. But then thirdly, we see that he was a bold man. And we see that in verse 47. For it says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He cried out to the Lord, asking him to have mercy on him. And there are many, and they think the boldness is shouting out louder than anybody else. But really what it means is showing courage and not being afraid of the consequences. This man, Bartimaeus, he had heard about the Lord. And he had come to that realization that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who could help him in his predicament, in his problem. He was the only one who could help him with this affliction that he had, this affliction of blindness. Maybe tonight there's one and you've heard about the Lord like Bartimaeus. You know that you are a sinner, and you're wondering, well, who can help? There's only one who can help you, and that is the one to whom Bartimaeus boldly called. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and the verse number 6. Words that I'm sure many of us perhaps learnt in children's meetings or in Sunday school. John 14 verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is speaking. He says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the only way of salvation. There are many, and they may say, oh, well, there's multiple ways to heaven. I remember watching a video maybe 3-4 years ago of a renowned ecumenical evangelist, and he said in the video that there was many ways to heaven, and that if you followed whatever religion it was that you were part of, if you followed it sincerely, you would find your way to heaven. But that is not what Scripture teaches. And the Scriptures are our only rule of faith and practice. The Scriptures are authoritative, and they teach us that salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend, have you called on him tonight? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you seeking to get to heaven through some other way, whether it's another belief or whether it's through some scheme of your own? What are you doing tonight? Think about it carefully in your hearts. What are you doing? What are you depending on? Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in yourself? Or are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came and took the sins of the world upon his shoulders and died on the cross to pay the debt for them? This man, Bartimaeus, he recognized that the Lord was the only one who could help him. And he cried out. Again, picture the scene. This was a man who'd been sitting there begging, and suddenly he was crying out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He recognized him as the promised Messiah, the one who'd been prophesied through Scripture. I'm sure we know many of those prophecies well, such as Isaiah 53. He was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, I think it's the first 15. Bartimaeus recognized him as the promised Messiah, for he called him, thou Son of David. He recognized him as the Son of God. He recognized him as the Savior of the world. But tonight, have you recognized him as the Savior of the world? Have you recognized him as that? Or are you still trying just to ignore the message, trying to do your own thing because you think that you know better? My friend, you need to recognize him as the Savior of the world and place your trust in him tonight. Then note what happened next. For the people, they tried to shut him up. They tried to stop him calling on the Lord. They tried to tell him to be quiet. They told him to hold his peace. They scolded him. They told him off, and they rebuked him for his zeal and desiring the help of the Lord in his situation. There are many, and they will try to stop you from calling on the name of the Lord. There are many who will do their best to talk you out of calling on the Lord. There are many who will say that you've nothing to worry about. You can call on the Lord some other day, some other convenient season. It brings to mind the account about Felix in Acts chapter 24. How Felix, after hearing the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers ever to walk this earth, and he preached to Felix, the Scriptures tell us he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. After that, it says that Felix trembled. And then he sent Paul on his way and said that he'd call on him on a more convenient season. But friends, as far as we know, from both the scriptural and the secular record, that convenient season never came. It never came. Felix's convenient season was at that moment when he heard the Apostle Paul preach, but he rejected the gospel message. Maybe tonight you're sitting and you've heard the gospel. Maybe you've heard it many times. And yet you still think perhaps maybe at a later stage. Maybe you're a young person and you think that, well, I have my whole life ahead of you. I want to enjoy myself, whether it's in school or at university. I want to enjoy my early 20s with my friends and enjoy all the fun that goes with that. But friend, you do not know what tomorrow may bring. You need to be ready for eternity now. Felix, he put off salvation. And that convenient season never came. It never came. The Apostle Paul, he penned the words. We quoted them this morning. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Tonight, my friends, the devil, he will seek to stop you from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will seek to stop you, and he will may use your friends. He may use your family. He may use those you know to try and put you off calling in the Lord. But do not give in to his words of deceit, for the words of the devil's deceit, they will take you to a lost eternity in hell. But what was the result of these people trying to quieten him down? What was the result of their hindering him and telling him to be quiet? Well, rather than heeding their cries of indignation and their cries of disgust, or rather than heeding their cries of annoyance, this man, he persevered. He carried on. He continued crying to the Lord. He was determined that he would be heard. He pressed on. He showed his boldness by his courage in continuing on despite those difficult circumstances that he faced. He did not care for their criticism. He knew that the Lord was the only one who could help him. And he was not going to let anyone or anything hold him back. Maybe there's one here tonight, and you've been considering your soul for a period of time. You know the gospel to be true. You know that you need to be saved. You know how essential and necessary that it is. But yet, as we said, when you speak to others, they've told you it's nothing to worry about. They've told you not to be bothering. They've told you you're a good person and to catch yourself on. I know of one man who, a number of years ago, whenever he spoke to someone and said he was considering these matters of salvation, a friend who would have, well, when I say professed, I would say he wasn't a genuine believer, but he would have professed to be saved. And he told him to catch himself on. He told him to catch himself on. And that it was nothing to worry about. And that it was nothing to even get flustered or perplexed about. But tonight I tell you, do not listen to those who will say it's nothing to worry about. But do as Bartimaeus did. And when those winds of opposition blow, when those people try to say, don't worry, continue on and call on the Lord. It's often said that your friends will laugh you into hell. But one thing certain is they will never laugh you out of it. Do not let anyone or anything or any type of pressure hold you back from calling on the Lord. But rather boldly call in the name of the Lord for his salvation. Oh, my friends, have you called in the name of the Lord with boldness tonight? Have you called in his name for his salvation? Have you confessed his name before men? We think of the words of Romans 10 and 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I ask you tonight, have you done what this verse states? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus? And have you believed in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead? We've seen how he was a blind man, how he was a begging man. We've seen how Bartimaeus was a bold man. But then fourthly and finally tonight, let us just see how Bartimaeus, that he was a believing man. Because Bartimaeus, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in verse 50, we see that there was a casting away. For in verse 50 it reads, and he casting away his garment. He cast off his garment. He took it off and threw it to the side. He was not letting anything hinder him from coming to the Lord. Maybe there's something tonight that's hindering you from coming to Christ. Maybe it's some type of sin, or maybe it's a friendship or a relationship, and it's hindering you. It's a hindrance. My friends, do as Bartimaeus did and cast it off just as he cast off his garment. But then we see the call that he made in verse 51. It says, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. If we look at the words in his call, we see that he called him Lord. He called him Lord. He recognized who he was, that he was the Son of God, and that he was the only one who could heal him. And he asked him for mercy. Tonight, have you called upon the Lord for mercy? Have you recognized him as the sovereign God of heaven, and the only one who can save you. Then his confession, which we read as well in verse 51, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he knew his need. He knew what Bartimaeus needed. He knows all things. He's omniscient. But Bartimaeus still had to confess it. The same is true in salvation, because we must confess that we are sinners before the Lord. If we look over at First John, and the chapter number 1, and the verse 9, we read wonderful words. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my friends, if you confess your sin to the Lord tonight, if you turn to him in faith and in repentance, we see the words of this verse. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will fit us with those robes of righteousness, making us righteous in the sight of God. Then in verse 52 of Mark 10, we see this man's cure. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, what wonderful words. What mighty words they are. This man who was blind, had a great affliction. He could not see. He was cured of his blindness. The Lord delivered him from that darkness that he had endured for many years. My friend, if you turn to the Lord, he will cure you from that disease of sin. We see in Psalm 103, and I think it's the first three, the sin is compared to disease. And friend, if you turn to the Lord, you will be cured of that terrible, terrible disease of sin. But then notice also, after that he received his sight, he followed Jesus in the way. He followed the Lord. He did not receive a sight and then just go back and do all perhaps the old things that those who are living in sin do. No, he followed the Lord. My friend, tonight, if there's one here and you're outside of the Lord, you're outside of Christ, will you not turn unto him tonight? Will you not forsake your sin and call upon his name to save you? And then, as Bartimaeus did, follow him in the way of the Lord. The hymn writer Fanny Crosby was a dear lady who also suffered from blindness. And she once penned these words, and I'm sure we know them quite well from singing them in our hymn book. Those words, they go, oh, be saved, his grace is free. Oh, be saved, he died for thee. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to make that way of salvation. He died on the cross to make that way for sinful man to be made righteous in the sight of God. But friend, you need to call upon his name in order to receive it. Will you come? Will you come to the Lord tonight? I trust tonight that if you are outside of the Lord, if you are outside of Christ, that you will come and call upon him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let's just close with a brief word of